on holiday, there's nothing like doing nothing. As an Expedia member, you can save up to 30% when you add a hotel to your flight, so you can go out there with great ambition to do absolutely nothing for less. Expedia, made to travel.
Today's episode of Suspect Convictions is brought to you by RX Bars. To get a 25% discount on your first order, go to rxbar.com/suspect and enter the promo code SUSPECT at checkout.
This episode of Suspect Convictions contains sexually graphic languages and situations. If you are listening in the car with your kids, you may want to wait until later.
When you run into former students, you know, around town, like here at the library or other places, if they come up and talk to you, what do they usually say?
I've gotten kind of a mixed bag. Some students just want to know what I'm doing and how I'm doing. And then there's some students who will not come up and talk to me, but will nudge another person, point, and then start whispering. And I've even had a couple students yell and curse at me from across the street.
What kind of things do you yell at you?
You're gonna probably bleep this out, but you know, just fuck you, Haglund, things like that.
Don't get me wrong, there's definitely times when it gets at me, but you know, when I step back and really think about it, I really don't see much of a difference between what she does and what an actress does. I mean, she puts on a face, she acts a certain way. So, you know, she fulfills part of, you know, a fantasy. There's a pretty solid line, and I trust her.
This is Scott Reeder, founder of Suspect Convictions. One of the first stories I covered as a young reporter involved a teacher who had a sexual relationship with a 16-year-old student. I was absolutely disgusted as I sat through the hearings involving this teacher. I saw the teachers' unions defend the indefensible, and it forever altered how I viewed educators. Decades later, I won numerous journalism awards investigating teacher misconduct. One of the most common reasons tenured teachers lose their job is they have sexual relationships with a student.
In our society, we have a rather schizophrenic view of those who teach. We idolize teachers in the movies. Who can forget Robin Williams in Dead Poets Society?
Medicine, law, business, engineering, these are noble pursuits. Poetry, romance, love, these are what we stay alive for.
Or Sidney Poynter in To Sir With Love.
Those schoolgirl days of telling tales and biting nails are gone. But in my
Or Richard Dreyfuss in Mr. Holland's Opus.
Glenn Holland found a way to make a difference.
Mr. Russ, congratulations, you found the beat.
And of all the lives he changed, the one that changed the most was his own.
Mr. Holland, of all the teachers here, you're my favorite.
On the other hand, we sexualize educators in song. Whoa!
I've got it bad, so bad. I'm like a teacher. Whoa.
There's longing, this girl's an open page. bookmarking. She's so close now. This girl is half his age.
Suspect Convictions has always examined murder cases, but for this episode, we will examine a case that is not even a felony. It's the case of Mary Beth Haglin, a gifted Iowa teacher who was awarded a prestigious Fulbright scholarship and taught at Cedar Rapids High School. At age 23, she had an affair with a 17-year-old who attended the same high school she taught at. Once the relationship became public, her life unraveled. And the student? Well, what happened with him is interesting, too. We'll examine Haglin's transformation from English teacher to sex worker. But first, let's hear in her own words how the relationship began.
I enjoy being around people who are of a certain intellectual bent of mind, so he definitely impressed me.
How would you describe him? Was he, you know, they always say that, you know, there's the jocks, there's the stoners, there's the nerds, there's what are the other high school cliques, Dan? I can't ever remember.
Band geeks.
What category would you have put him in?
I don't know. He wasn't popular. He was really into speech.
Is he a good student?
In certain subjects.
Okay.
But in other subjects, he was actually pretty terrible.
Okay. I assume he was pretty good in English, though.
Yeah.
So when did the relationship kind of move to the next level?
I guess in October of 2015.
Did you find some place to go, or I assume it didn't happen here at the library?
No. We had our couple of spots that we went to.
Do you think you love him?
I thought that I did. But I think that's because I was so confused about what any sort of healthy relationship was. Not having been in many good ones myself.
Okay.
Especially at the time, I was dating a guy who was pretty abusive. So, I mean, my yardstick wasn't, you know... He didn't have to do much in order for me to think that he was better than my boyfriend.
Did his boyfriend know about him at all? Or?
No.
No? I know from, what was the show? Not Dr. Phil, was it Crime World?
Crime Watch.
Crime Watch, yeah. They said you guys got together for like every day for 6 months or something like that.
Well, it wasn't every day.
Here is how the relationship was described on the television program Crime Watch.
Cedar Rapids, Iowa, a small town with a population barely big enough to fill the Los Angeles Coliseum, is now at the center of a salacious sex scandal. A 24-year-old, beautiful substitute teacher at this high school admits to hooking up with one of the students, having sex with him more than 100 times.
Mary Beth Haglin is a pretty teacher who always wanted to instruct children. But within just months of achieving her goal, Mary Beth threw it all away by giving one student some very private lessons.
How many times did you have sex with the student?
I can't even count. Perhaps a few hundred times.
It's worth noting that Mary Beth's relationship with the student would be legal if she wasn't a teacher. The age of consent in Iowa is 16, but it is a misdemeanor for someone in a position of authority to have sexual relations with someone who is between age 16 and 17. Among those considered in positions of authority are pastors, scout leaders, and teachers. But Mary Beth insists she wasn't a person of authority because her lover wasn't a student in one of her classrooms.
The situation Mary Beth got herself into, a taboo relationship with the 17-year-old high school student.
How did you meet the student?
This particular student was in my class when I was a student teacher. He was a good student, and I always like to reconnect with my better students.
But to say Mary Beth reconnected was an understatement. The young teacher who rotated among different schools one day found herself back at the place where she and the student first met.
He saw me again at Washington High School subbing one day. He came in to say hi, and I welcomed that.
But that chat in the classroom quickly turned from innocent to indecent. And more than that, downright illegal.
He contacted me on Facebook. He was very persistent in his contact. He kept asking me to go to coffee or to go to lunch or just, hi, how are you? Why won't you answer me?
Mary Beth claims that at the time she was in an abusive relationship with her then boyfriend. One night after what she calls a particularly horrible episode with her ex, she reached out for comfort from her soon-to-be teenage lover.
When was the first time you had sexual contact with the student?
We had gone to a corn maze in a neighboring town, and we went to Beaver Park, which was kind of our hangout spot. We sat in his parked car, and he started kissing me, and he started touching me.
Unfortunately, these student-teacher relationships plague schools across the nation. Whether more of such incidents are happening or just being reported is an open question. Mary Jo McGrath is a California lawyer who specializes in investigating educator misconduct, has definite opinions on why young educators get into this predicament.
I have found that when you're dealing with a 17-year-old and a 24-year-old, sometimes the younger teachers, some of them have in their mind never left school. They are, in their mind, kind of still a high school student. So there's a susceptibility that kind of person would have in the study.
Indeed, to hear Haglund's explanation on Dr. Phil's television program, she sounds much more like a schoolgirl with a crush than a mature, responsible educator.
The student was the one who seduced me. I am the victim. I was working as a substitute teacher when a student contacted me and repeatedly asked me for lunch or coffee. One day, I was going to be working at his school, said I would see him there. I was 23, he was 17. He came into the classroom that I was subbing for. After that, we started chatting more on Facebook and text.
Trust me, it's not difficult to be a caring boyfriend, especially to someone as magnificent as you.
I fell head over heels for him. We began a physical relationship. We had sex almost daily in his car, my car, his mom's house, and his dad's house. I did think that it was something I could keep secret. The student twisted my brain into accepting this relationship. He did so with such intelligence and such an elevated vocabulary that I was completely duped by the whole facade.
The relationship came to the attention of the school administrators when Mary Beth texted naked photos of herself to the student, and he shared them with his friends.
The student convinced me to send him sexy pictures, some nude. He shared them with his friends, who then shared them with their friends. Pretty soon, they were all over the internet. I did not think that he would share confidential material like that because, in my mind, this was a real relationship. And in real relationships, people don't do that kind of thing to hurt each other.
This is something that's fascinated me for a long time. When I was a young reporter 30 years ago, I covered a case before the teacher certification board here in Illinois about a teacher for losing his certification because he had a relationship with a student. And the student actually moved in with him and his wife. It was just a really sad story. And to this day, he denies that he did it. He did lose his license here in Illinois. There were just a lot of things there that just were puzzling to me. But the most puzzling thing I ever about all of these is, why do people do this? I mean, it's like, can't they see it's inevitable? It'll just destroy their career and mess up their lives. I mean, I don't know. I mean, you're a different generation than I am, Michelle. What runs your mind when you see something like this?
I just think to myself, like I think I mentioned to you earlier, just when is that point where, you know, they cross that line and don't realize that I mean, the second they cross the line, it's over. It's completely over for them, because it's inevitable that it will never stay private. Kids, teenagers, you know, they're not going to keep this quiet. I mean, they're going to show their, like, just the fact, even in this situation where, you know, they show their friends, and it's a prime time for, a prime age for discovery. And these curious teenagers are not going to, you know, they're not adults. They're not processing it the same way. I mean, she was only 23, but I mean, she still knows right and wrong, and she still knew what she was doing. I mean, I don't know how blinded you can be by that desire to be able to not see that it's going to totally and completely end your career.
And not just end your career, it's going to really mess up your life. I mean, this woman got a lot of notoriety in the community. I mean, her story is she had a couple part-time jobs, one at a clothing store in this community, one at a restaurant. Both of those jobs disappeared as soon as all this became public, because, you know, and she's talked about applying for jobs at gas stations and everywhere else, and just nobody wanted to have anything to do with her.
Yeah, there's no way that you're going to come back from it. At that point, your whole life has changed completely. Like, no one is going to want to hire you, and you're always going to have that stamp on you. And it's just wild to me that that's not even factored in. I mean, I'm sure it is, but it's just something else is overpowering that. And I don't know, it's your life is essentially over in so many ways. Your life is ruined.
Folks, about 4.5 years ago, I gave up eating all sweets. I haven't had a candy bar, a lifesaver, or a piece of dessert in all that time. And I feel so much healthier having done that. But you know what? RX Bars contacted me this week and asked me to review their product. And I'm thinking, oh, I don't know if I can do that. I mean, is this going to be a healthy product or not? Is this going to fit in with my diet? And then I got them. And I read the ingredients. 3 egg whites, 2 dates, and 6 almonds. Does it get any healthier than that? I'm serious. Turns out, real food ingredients actually taste really good. You can taste the fruit and the spices, things like sea salt. They're just wonderful. Whether you like sweet or savory, chocolate, or fruit flavors, there's an RX bar for you. RX bars come in 11 delicious flavors and varieties. My personal favorite is chocolate with sea salt. It's absolutely awesome. I think it tastes better than a Hershey bar. RX bars are gluten-free, soy-free, dairy-free, and there's no added sugar, no artificial flavors or colors or preservatives or fillers. There's egg whites for protein, dates to bind, nuts for texture. RX bars are great for a number of occasions, like breakfast on the go, a snack at the office, the throw in your bag for the plane, toss in a backpack for a bike ride or a hike, or eat them right before or after a workout. I'll tell you where I used it this past week. I had to go up to Wisconsin and Minnesota to work on some cases that I'm investigating for future episodes, and I just carried them along with me in the truck and munched on them on the way. They were just delicious, and it was so great not to have to stop and get something to snack on while I was on the road. I enjoyed them immensely. If you'd like to get an RX bar and get a 25% discount for your first order, visit rxbar.com/suspect and enter the promo code SUSPECT at checkout. One more time, for a 25% discount on your first order, go to rxbar.com/suspect and enter the promo code SUSPECT at checkout.
David Finkelhor, a professor at the University of New Hampshire and an international authority on child abuse, why such relationships are a bad idea.
I wouldn't say that in every single case the student is damaged in the sense of permanently scarred, or there's a tremendous diversity, but, you know, a lot of it depends on not just the relationship and how it ends and who finds out and what the consequences are and all those kinds of things, but it's extremely high risk. And there are a lot of young people who are damaged by it. I mean, even, you know, in the classic case where, you know, the classic sort of Mrs. Robinson case where you have like a 16-year-old boy who has a relationship with a 25-year-old teacher, you know, and initially thinks, wow, this is really cool. I'm a stud. She's attracted to me. You know, everybody has fantasies about her, and I'm the one who got her, okay? You know, that may seem in the short term like, you know, that's, but, you know, you frequently see these kids reevaluating that experience pretty shortly thereafter. Not always, but I think sometimes they do and come to realize, wow, that really messed with me. Now, I don't know, for a variety of reasons, you know, because those relationships rarely work out, because was she manipulating me or was it really good? Those kinds of things can really bother them. But I mean, oftentimes, you know, things work out a lot worse. But I'm just saying, in the best case scenario, there's even substantial risk there. But even if you can imagine that there is a young person who isn't negatively affected, I mean, we have very good reasons why we have these restrictions and these limitations.
After the affair became public, Mary Beth was arrested and eventually sentenced to 90 days in the county jail. She is appealing the sentence and has yet to find herself behind bars. The student sued the school district and received a $500,000 settlement. Through his attorney, he declined to be interviewed by suspect convictions. But the story doesn't end there. Mary Beth Hagelin is pursuing a new career as an erotic dancer and pornographic actress. The porn movies capitalize on the notoriety she gained as a teacher.
Today is sentencing day for Mary Beth. Here is the courthouse. There's like the police station or something, I don't know. Jail, I think it is. And I'm gonna go pick her up and give her a ride to her sentencing. And I think we're gonna fuck in the park where she fucked the student that she's getting sentenced for fucking today. So I'm gonna fuck her, I'm gonna get a blowjob, and I'm gonna come on her face, is what I hope so. And then that way, when she's in the courtroom, my cum's on her face. So I hope you guys like this video.
And she became a stripper at a local gentleman's club. She said sometimes there are familiar faces in the audience.
Have you had any former students show up at the club?
Yes.
What's that like?
It's weird. And so I completely circumvent that little area where they're sitting, and I tell the bouncer, and they can't prevent them from being in there because they haven't done anything to warrant being kicked out. But I just say, keep an eye on them, and if you see them using their phones at all, kick them out.
Dr. Gail Dines is a British sociologist who specializes in studying the porn culture. She has definite opinions on what drew Mary Beth Hagelin into the porn industry. She believes Hagelin's notoriety in a town the size of Cedar Rapids left her with few other work alternatives.
Because she was so stigmatized by the culture, she found herself in a place where they wouldn't judge her because they're all stigmatized in the sex industry. So in a way, I do understand the trauma. She was probably too had trauma from what happened. You know, she should never have gone near that 17-year-old boy. I mean, that was an absolute abuse. But she, too, probably was traumatized from the fallout from that as well.
Mary Beth Hagelin grew up in Alexandria, Minnesota, a town of 13,000, where her dad was an insurance agent and her mom was a homemaker. Her father was a Republican county chairman, and her family is active in a church, and Mary Beth's reputation growing up was straight-laced and scholarly. Jamie Anderson was Mary Beth's best friend while the two grew up in Alexandria, Minnesota. She is surprised by some of the decisions her friend has made, but tries to be supportive.
She's obviously working a strip joint in Cedar Rapids, and she's, I guess for want of a better word, she's been in one or two pornographic movies. Could you have ever seen this happen when you were in high school?
Oh, boy. I didn't know about that. No, and nobody would have. And she's been the talk of the people we graduated with because she's the last person that you'd ever expect any of that from.
And why is that?
Because she was so conservative. She was very clearly not into showing her body or being overly sexual in any way, and that was just completely yes.
Well, you were her best friend growing up. Do you think she was sexually active in high school?
Not that I would know of, no.
Oh, okay. So something changed pretty radically.
I very highly doubt it.
Okay. Something changed pretty radically when she went to college, I take it.
Yeah.
Are you at all disappointed in your friend? I mean, for getting involved with a student?
I mean, I guess, I don't know if I would say disappointed. I was confused and frustrated, but everyone makes mistakes, and this is a pretty big mistake to make, but I don't want to say I'm disappointed.
Okay, that's fine. I probably used the wrong word there. I mean, but it's obviously something that surprised a lot of people. To see it talked about there in your hometown very much by other people?
I mean, I've heard people talk about it, sure, but I'm not in contact with all that many people still who we both knew. But yeah, there's been talk.
If you were going to give advice to your friend, what would it be? Or you probably saw her this weekend. What advice would you give her?
I have told her to kind of keep her head down and stop with attention-seeking stuff and things like that. And I told her all that. And I said, just keep your head down and stay out of relationships and focus on you right now, because you're not going to get anywhere undoing. I mean, I want her to get like a real job, but she says she likes it and it's what she wants to do. So what can I say?
I can't think that would be a very psychologically rewarding position to be in, to be working at a strip joint.
No, I wouldn't think so either.
So yeah, I was trying to figure it out, and you know, I know that, you know, I'm the father of three girls. I'd be heartbroken if one of them took this route. I mean, I just couldn't imagine what that would be like.
Yeah, and it's affected her family quite a bit. And I've always been pretty close with her family, too. We've always gotten along really well, and I saw them this weekend also. But they just don't know what to do or what to say. I mean, they're still in contact and talking with her, but they're disappointed.
Mary Beth says she was berated by a former teacher colleague in a bar for bringing disgrace to the profession. And then there are the former students at the high school where she taught.
When you run into former students, you know, around town, like here at the library or other places, if they come up and talk to you, what do they usually say?
I've gotten kind of a mixed bag. Some students just want to know what I'm doing and how I'm doing. And then there's some students who will not come up and talk to me, but will nudge another person, point, and then start whispering. And I've even had a couple students yell and curse at me from across the street.
What kind of things do they yell at you?
Oh, well, you're going to probably bleep this out, but, you know, just fuck you, Haglin, things like that.
So this begs the question of, what's an appropriate punishment for a teacher who does something like this?
I mean, definitely my thoughts are not continuing to teach. The idea of whether it's a crime and a felony and, you know, jail time and all that, I don't know. I mean, I think that there would need to be some sort of assessment mentally, because this is a decision that anyone should be able to make. It should never even be a choice, because it's so clear as to how it's going to turn out. So I often feel like there's must be something going on there that needs to be dealt with, that needs to be, you know, assessed and sought counseling and mental health care specialists, and really diving in what the true issue was for her, because I don't think it was, you know, that she didn't know the consequences, and it's just, why did she do it? I think that before there's any sort of, you know, crime-related punishment, I feel as though there needs to be some sort of assessment by a doctor and, you know, therapist, psychologist. A bit of hope has entered Mary Beth's life. She has met a man and found love. Her boyfriend is John Stevens, a local restaurateur.
Why don't you tell me a little bit about Mary Beth? How'd you two meet?
Met in the library, in the cooking section of the library. Both were looking for cookbooks and started talking. I didn't recognize her at first, but didn't take long before it kind of came up. And then things just clicked. I was working at, I'm still waiting on a bar that's going to be opening below where I live in the apartment building where I live, and thought she'd be a fantastic addition there. So we started there, and while the owners of the company didn't agree, they thought there'd be too much negative publicity tied to her. We kind of continued the relationship and hit it off, and here we are.
Okay. Now, you know, the story that Mary Beth had told me was a little bit different than that. She said you guys met at her workplace originally. Or maybe I misunderstood her.
Okay. I guess that was something we were, for obvious reasons, kind of keeping to ourselves. But okay. Yeah, we did. We had originally met at our workplace.
Okay. Yeah.
I stopped in and we chatted. Then I thought it'd be, I still thought she'd be a great addition from there. And then that led into us talking about that. And then we continued talking after it didn't work out with the owners of the business.
Oh, I ask it the way I ask one of my best friends. He was a guy named Larry Lisco. He's actually a chef as well. He worked a lot of the top restaurants around the country. He was the chef at River Oaks Country Club in Houston. He was a chef at some really top venues around the country, and we were good friends for a long time. And his girlfriend for a long time was a stripper, and I go, doesn't that bother you, dude?
Okay.
And he said, not really. And I go, it bothered the heck out of me, but I'll ask you. I mean, does it bother you at all?
Don't get me wrong. There's definitely times when it gets at me. But you know, when I step back and really think about it, I really don't see much of a difference between what she does and what an actress does. I mean, she puts on a face. She acts a certain way. So, you know, she fulfills part of, you know, a fantasy. And there's a pretty solid line, and I trust her. And, you know, in my industry, bartending and everything, you know, I expect a lot of trust from her too, because, you know, I flirt shamelessly because it makes more money in tips, and she does what she does.
Mary Beth, who is now studying to be a paralegal, for her part is a bit more introspective.
It wasn't one of my more shining moments, so it brings about a lot of self-judgment for me.
And how do you judge yourself right now?
Well, I think I was completely stupid. But on the other hand, I also think that it was a mistake. And I know that the things that people do are not what people are. People are beyond just their actions. There's a phrase that actually I like to use when thinking about this, and that is, my actions are mine, they are not me. And I think that's very applicable to this whole situation, because I don't see myself as just that. I'm more than the sum of just my actions, and certainly more than the sum of that one action.
Thank you.